Bruce Springsteen, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Bruce, you have a gorgeous new album, Only the Strong Survive, but it's not what people might expect, is it? It's actually a soul album. You've recorded a bunch of soul and Motown classics. I suppose the first question is, why? Was this music important to you down the years?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a rock and soul record. And the reason I did it was I'd finished recording Letter to You, which is the last record I made with the E Street Band. And we were still under COVID lockdown here in the United States. And I have a studio on my farm. So I said, well, I'll keep busy. I don't have any new songs to write, but I'm going to go over and start to record some songs that I just think I'd have fun singing. And so I went to the studio and I started to do that. At the end of the day, this is the record that came from that.
So this was your lockdown hobby, essentially. Some people, you know, learn to bake banana bread. You made a soul album, a rock soul album.
That's kind of true.
So, Bruce, there's a nice sweetness to your voice in some of these songs. Not that you're not always sweet, but it's not necessarily what people expect from you. Did it tap into a different part of you, do you think?
Yeah, well, I guess to choose material that was based around singing. And then I had the original artist's version. So I listened to where they were singing from. Some artists sing from their chest. Some sing from up here in their neck sometimes. Some sing from their head. You know, it's all different. And so I would take each song, try to feel where the artist was singing from, sing from that same place in myself. And I had a lot of fun matching my voice with the material and choosing material that where my voice was the center of it and I could really have a chance to use my voice.
Am I hearing here, though, that they were a little bit hard to sing, maybe some of them for you?
Yeah. Some of them are, well, I'm up against the greatest singers of the 60s. So you're trying to sing something that Levi Stubbs sang, or you're trying to sing something David Ruffin or Jimmy Ruffin sang. These are the greatest soul voices of all time. And so I'm just trying to find where I fit, how I can bring my emotion to that piece of music and, you know, trying to come out with something basically that just communicated the joy and the fun that I was having in the project.
Yeah. Can I ask you, were you nervous at all as a white man approaching these songs that they're largely by black musicians?
Well, you know, these songs were all such a part of my life from since I was 15, maybe younger, maybe 12. I was a child getting ready for school in the morning. The radio was on. I was hearing doo-wop. I was hearing the gorgeous voices of doo-wop, soul voices, fabulous rhythm and blues love songs. And I was absorbing it all, even as a child. And then when I went to make my own music, I found that I was deeply drawn and deeply connected to these musical forms. And So it was very easy for me. I didn't do a lot of deep thinking about it. I just said, I love these artists. I love these musicians. Let me see what I can bring. You can call it a tribute. You can call it a fans record. You can call it whatever you like. You know, it was just me loving on these artists and loving on this music and wanting to sing it.
Yeah. And of course, a lot of people would argue that you've always been really, in a way, a soul musician, haven't you?
Yeah, our band is based in the show bands and soul bands that toured the shores in the 1960s in New Jersey. You know, we come out of a rock. We're not rock and roll. We are a rock and soul band. That is really who we are. And so I've been dealing with these influences my entire life, going back to 10th Avenue Freeze Out.
Yeah. I was even thinking probably the most obvious example of it is Born to Run, which has that big Phil Spector Motown wall of sound, doesn't it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, so I use these production techniques and horn section styles it's a big part of our New Jersey heritage here. So
yeah. I gather it took months for you to get Born to Run to a point where you were happy with the sound of it. Is that true?
That took 6 months.
No way.
Yeah, a long time.
And are you a bit of a perfectionist? What was it you didn't like?
Well, that was a song where I was inventing myself. You know, there's always one song where you're in the actual process of self-invention. And then after you create that piece, you start working on that model. So I wrote Born to Run after that: Thunder Road, Jungle Land, She's the One, The Night, 10th Avenue Freeze Out, Back Streets, all came from drawing on the style that I'd created with that piece of music. So you're in the process of self-reinvention. Sometimes it can happen in seconds. Sometimes it can take a while.
Okay. Before we come back to Only the Strong Survive, can I ask you for a minute about Nebraska, Bruce? Because it had a 40th anniversary re-release recently. It wasn't an album I knew well, but I've been listening to it quite a lot, and it's an extraordinary album. Does it, when something like this comes around, like that it's 40 years ago, A, does it shock you a lot? And B, do you go back and listen to it again, and does it bring you back to that part of your life?
Yeah, I hadn't listened to Nebraska. Then somebody told me it was 40 years old. And so I went and listened to it. And it was just kind of funny, you know. It was there it was. And it's part, you know, it was a short piece of my life. I made the record in, I don't know, a couple of weeks, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
And but it's one of those records that lasted. It may be my best record. You know, it may be one of the, it may be the record that lasts out of all records because of its folk roots and nature, you know. And it's just flat out spookiness, you know. So it's one of my favorite records, and I'm glad to see. I was in a store the other day, and I was talking to this kid, and I said, "Hey, man, how old are you?" He goes, "I'm 20." I said, "You're 20?" I said, "Wow." He said, "Yeah, Nebraska's my favorite record." You go, "You're 20 and Nebraska's your favorite record?" Yeah. So a lot of young people, for some reason, gravitate to that record. And I'm very proud of it, of that record.
Yeah. And it's just you, a guitar, mouth organ, tape recorder in a room, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. And there was a plan to make it into a band album, but that never happened.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. So listen, back to Only the Strong Survive. You'll be touring next year. I know you're coming to Ireland, as you always do. And I guess tour is probably for Letter to You, but is part of the show going to be, I was looking at the video for The Night Shift, and it looks like you're having fun there, kind of a soul review kind of vibe. You're in a nice suit, kind of David Ruffin, Levi Stubbs vibe.
Exactly.
So will we see a bit of a soul review when you come next year?
No, I think the E Street Band show is pretty much a rock show, rock and soul show. You know?
Yeah.
But we may bring the big band with the horns and be able to play stuff from this record and stuff from other records. And, you know, so we may bring a bigger version of the E Street Band.
Okay, cool. And Bruce, we like to think that all musicians really who come to Ireland have a special place in their heart for Ireland. But I think you really do, don't you?
Well, I'm Irish.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from, you know, my relatives came over after the potato famine to the United States. I come from a long line of McNicholas's, you know,
Garrity's.
Long line, Garrity's, I'm trying to think of what the rest are now, but it's so I'm very connected to that part of Ireland, actually, spiritually, and I feel a great warmth there, and our Irish audience is a very, very special audience to us. They have given us such a tremendous home in Ireland, and it is completely appreciated by myself and the band. We love coming to Ireland.
Yeah, and I think there's a sense, it feels like you can relax here as well. You go out for a pint. I know you go to the Long Hall, you go to O'Donoghue's, and yeah.
Yeah, I got my little stops that I like to make, and it's pretty cool when I go. Everybody just says hi. You know, he buys me a drink or something, and I got to get my fish and chips and stop here and there, and I have a great time, man.
Okay.
I love it.
Hey, hang on a minute, Bruce. They're buying you a drink. You should be buying them a drink.
It's true. I'll have to remember that.
And listen, I suppose part of the reason you keep coming back here as well is that you kind of have a special connection with the Aikens as well, don't you? With Jim and now with his son, Peter.
Love the Aikens. Love them.
Yeah.
Love them. Old school promoters, the way we used to have them in the States. And wonderful guys, wonderful people. I have a wonderful relationship with them there. But the whole country and Dublin and the RDS is also very special to me. My daughter has ridden there with her horses. And so that's been a wonderful treat for us and for her to have worked in the same building. And it just means a lot. It's a great, 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 great time for us. And always a lot of fun when we come.
Bruce, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but have you heard from Kildare County Council? I believe they've sent you a letter.
Tell me that again.
OK, so Kildare County Council have sent you a letter, right? They want you to go to Rathangan and plant a tree because your great-great-grandmother, Anne Garrity, set sail from there for New Jersey in 1853, apparently. She was from Rathangan. Yeah. So you know what? I think they've written you a letter, so maybe it got stuck in the post somewhere. But they would like you to go back and plant a tree. Do you think you'll have time for tree planting duties?
Tell them to get in touch with my tour management so that when we come over there, you know, maybe we can figure something out.
Yeah. Okay, good.
That sounds like fun.
Bruce, I thought one of the things that was nice about the way this album was promoted is that it's an album of the great American songbook. And I guess even though the roots of the music you play is all in, say, probably black music, and there's a lot of Irish music in the roots of rock and roll as well, but black music, it's often not regarded as when we talk about the great American songbook, is it? But in fact, it is probably a huge part of the great American songbook.
Totally. You know, I mean, go to the roots of the blues or the roots of rhythm and blues or the roots of rock and roll. You know, I mean, in the States, there's a narrow interpretation of the great American songbook being Cole Porter and Gershwin and that. But I end it myself to Holland Dozier Holland, the great Gamble and Huff, Norman Whitfield, the great writers of all the great soul music. You know, I think that those songs are going to live as long and be as powerful as anything else. And so they're there for interpretation and reinterpretation forever. And they're just wonderful, wonderful pieces of music. It's a wonderful part of American culture. And it was I've had a great time going in and getting to reinterpret some of this music.
Yeah, I thought it was fairly daring to take on the Night Shift, which is in itself is a tribute, isn't it, to Marvin Gaye and Jackie Wilson. So you did a tribute within a tribute. But you think of a song like that and the production of the original is so essential to it. And I thought, can anyone improve on that? And it's not that you improved on it, but you kind of made it your own, didn't you? And it's a fantastic version.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going into the record thinking, oh, I got to beat this or I got to beat that, because it was almost impossible. I said, I'm not going to sing this better than Levi Stubbs. I'm just going to sing it the way that I sing it. And I'm going to try and find the joy of my singing and singing this song, and that's what the audience is going to read. And so Night Shift was really a great record. It's a little bit of, it's got a little bit of 80s production on it that I cleared away. I said, I'm not going to use some of those 80s sounds. I moved away and I made it a little more conventional sounding, a little bit more like a regular soul ballad. So that was my approach to that particular piece of music. But it was just a wonderfully written song. It's a beautiful hymn towards people who've inspired us that have passed. And it's one of my favorite songs on the record.
So what are you up to yourself now? Are you writing and recording and all that all the time at home there?
Yeah, I'm still continuing to record. I'm still recording songs that I haven't written, just for, you know, to keep myself busy, for something to do, and because I'm having such a great time at it, and getting ready for the tour. Those are the two things I'm doing right now.
Is there still a lot of work involved in rehearsal and getting ready for a tour? Are you guys such old hands at this stage that you can just rock up and do it?
It should take us about 3 weeks. I'm guessing three weeks to be ready to play. So we start in January. We open February 1st.
And you still love it, clearly, Bruce.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, listen, Only the Strong Survivors out now, and we look forward to seeing you in Ireland in the new year. Bruce Springsteen, thank you very much for being here with us today.
My best to everybody. Can't wait to see you.
Okay, see you soon, Bruce.
Take care.
RTE Radio 1.